teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Overwhelmed with this life full of stress and worry? The Lord has an answer for us in His Word. Often the Christian goes through this life taking on way more upon himself than he should. He's trying to, simply put, do it himself. The Lord never expected this from us. He told us in the Word that we should cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. In other words, prayer should be a vital discipline in the Christian life because it is not just talking with God, it's expressing to Him your complete dependence upon His strength and His power to live out the Christian life. We're going to look at the importance of prayer today and how Jesus instructed His disciples to pray, to look to Him in His absence, so that the ministry of the gospel would continue and they would fulfill the purpose for which He left them in the earth. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at aagradio.org, aagradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. Thankfully, take time out of your day to tune into the program. Please consider supporting Abounding Grace Radio. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to major population bases in the U.S., Canada, and Africa. Thank you, dear listener, for supporting the program. Here is now the program from Mark chapter 9. This is part 2 of Jesus Gives You a Way Forward. You can find that right on the website, part 1 and 2. Today is part 2. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can, if you can. How did He say it? Again, I'd love to hear the tone on that one. Was it, if you can, if you can? Really? He had just put His hand on the problem, however way we hear it. How do you capture it? Now, it's striking here that back in Mark chapter 1, the leper came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you're willing. And Jesus says, I'm willing. If you can. And now we're starting to get at how serious Jesus is taking unbelief, aren't we? He is clearly agitated in this particular section to make a very powerful point in front of His disciples and to go after them too. Oh, faithless generation. He was talking to everyone there. And in the next breath, He says, all things are possible to him who believes. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Jesus was saying, someone who believes in me, and this is the point He's making here, is not going to put a limit on what I can do. Someone who believes in me is not going to hold and throw around limits on me, which is what everyone in this scene is doing. The problem is not me, says Jesus. The problem is this. It is whether you have the faith to believe. That's the problem we all have to think about here. That's the problem all of you have to think about here. The problem is not me. I've got sufficient power. The problem is you. This is what He said to the multitude that day. The problem is whether one has faith. When you begin to put the problem of the disciples together with this, I think it helps to get where we need to go this morning. And that takes us to the end of the passage at this point, where I believe it's really helpful to put this together, the father who is in some way illustrating the problem of the disciples. When Jesus had descended on this scene of unbelief, remember that particularly Jesus had already commissioned the disciples and given them power over unclean spirits. Do you remember that when he sent them out in the mini mission, the trial mission? I give you power over the unclean spirits. They're totally baffled. I'm sure they're thinking, but you said you gave us power over the unclean spirits. But Jesus in this particular section is the object of no one's faith. On the one hand, a man came hoping that Jesus could, and that was setting limits on him. And then when he wasn't there, went to his disciples, and the disciples act as if they have this power automatically, don't they? The disciples begin to take the situation into their own hands, and a lack of faith is seen how they expected to be able to do it, and here's the key this morning, apart from Jesus. They presumed on that power. This was like in the Old Testament, hey, let's put the ark out in the middle of the field and we'll defeat the Philistines. This should be no problem for us. What's missing here? Well, that's why it's helpful to go to the end of this. At the end of this whole scene, they walk up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, why couldn't we? And he says something very interesting. I'm sure you've all thought about it. This kind cannot be driven out by nothing but prayer. Isn't that a fascinating statement to make? We want to know why we can do this. And Jesus says, it can't go out except by prayer. What that means is that whatever kind of satanic assault they were confronted with, this was a demonstration of the worst kind of bondage that Satan brings upon people. I think when he says kind, he's having us think about something that Satan does that is the worst kind of act. And is the worst kind of act that Satan and his kingdom does is try to destroy you. Utterly destroy your lives. His business is to destroy lives. You see it all the time. People's lives, they want to destroy themselves, and Satan's behind that. What is more painful than seeing him do that to a child? Jesus is about to send them out as his ambassadors. What did they need to learn? How would they defeat this enemy? I mean, that's a training question, isn't it? It's a very simple thing Jesus was saying. You ready? Way simpler than you ever thought. The reason you were powerless is because you didn't pray. Can't be that simple, can it? Doesn't this lesson make a little sense now? You see what he was teaching them? They thought, God's given us this power in the past. It's ours. Therefore, we should be able to do this. It was a kind of control of God and a manipulation of God himself, wasn't it? Very similar to the idolatry at the foot of the mountain in Exodus. We'll bring God to us our way. I can imagine all sorts of goofy attempts at healing were going on down at the bottom of the mountain. But no power. Nothing came that day. Nothing. No power. Totally impotent. No power whatsoever. By the way, I just have to say, this exposes the sheer hypocrisy of this so-called faith healing movement. It's been going on for years where if it were really legitimate, and they were really doing that, they'd be down at Children's Hospital. Wouldn't they? They wouldn't be healing noses and ears and toes. They'd be helping children if it were legitimate. You'd see Benny Hinn down there, where the most heartbreaking of all miseries in this life shows itself among children. And you can't even see those pictures of starving, hurting children, can you? And in this regard, you see what they were doing. There was a reason Romans 10 always said, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up. What does it say? The word is near you that if you believe. God's power is not magical like that. God doesn't give power like that. He doesn't do it. He just told you this. What Jesus descended upon was a scene of unbelief because they were trusting in themselves rather than him. And it showed by what? A lack of prayer. It's just reality. Strong faith in this life will be evidenced by prayer. A lack of prayer in the Christian life is a sure indicator you're trying to do it yourself. And I know what your road has been like, and I know what you're going through. Because that's me. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is probably why we struggle with prayer, is it's usually about our lists of healings, isn't it? Truth be told. Heal so-and-so for this. Heal so-and-so for that. You know, you could manipulate God in prayer that way. Looking for a pain-free and a pleasure-filled life when he's told you that through much suffering you enter the kingdom. It could be your way of not listening to that. Look at how God inspired prayer in the Bible. Praising God for his power. I mean, look at the Psalms. Asking God for his strength because you cannot uphold yourself. You can't do it. You're a spiritual mess. And often God doesn't take your struggle away. I don't have to make that case in this life that he often doesn't take your struggle away. Many of you have lived it. Many of you know this. Instead, it often turns out so that as you do pray, you find your whole mind changing and looking at it differently so that you're going on in his strength so that the power of Christ may rest upon you in your weakness. Prayer is the means for you to express reliance and trust. That's what it is. You get the message here? Christ has to bear the cross for you. Christ has to defeat the demonic realm for you. He has to suppress its assaults on you, which are constantly coming. I'll look at that in a minute. You can't do it. You don't do it. You know you don't do it. You never will be able to do it. And unbelief shows you trying to do it without him ever praying. And what did this show the disciples? Well, they found themselves shamed, exposed, humiliated. And that's what happens when we try to live this Christian life on our own strength. Not only do we bring discouragement upon ourselves for not listening, but often embarrassment, harassment, and sometimes fall in defeat. You can't win yourself, is what he's saying. You can't do it yourself, is what he's saying. I carry this cross for you. This kind of bondage, what you're studying here, is exemplary of the kind of mastery over people's lives that apart from me, you're helpless. And this is why Jesus said, this is the work of God that you believe. Even faith is a great gift from him that you believe. And belief will then begin to take root in your life, and it will begin to show itself in life in prayer. See what prayer is? Casting yourself upon the Lord for his power and his strength and his deliverance. It's summoning him. They say that the one thing that Queen Mary hated the most were John Knox's prayers. Hope I got that right. It just came to my mind. If I got that wrong, Dr. Godfrey can correct me later. The battle that you are in is that fierce. If you could only see the spiritual and demonic assaults upon you that happen all the time, that you don't take seriously the harassment, the assaults, and spiritual warfare. You wouldn't have inspired texts, by the way, that tell you about this if this weren't true. You wouldn't have inspired texts telling you that flaming darts of the evil one are firing at you all the time. You wouldn't have to be called to take up the armor of Christ, to put on his armor, if this weren't going on, that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're subject to that. Don't get me wrong. He has a shield around his people. But that doesn't mean you're free from attack. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, Peter. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Truth be told, we're often trying to do it ourselves, and we wonder why we find ourselves with no power, discouraged in the fight. And I'll say, I would first ask you to be honest with yourself. Are you praying? It's a basic message. Doing it yourself is a form of unbelief. And Jesus was teaching them something so vital here. In my absence, here's what he's saying to them. You still need me. I'm just as available to you as if I'm walking with you on this earth. And the way that happens is through prayer. Go to my Father and ask for the help of his Son. See it? This power is not yours, it's mine, says Jesus. And that's why we say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Every new day, every new circumstance, every new sorrow, every new challenge, every new affliction, every new hardship requires us to go to him brand new. You don't just stand back and say, well, it's been good in the past. No, he's saying, come. That's part of your communion. And in this way, we see how the disciples misunderstood their mission. Here was a man who should have been called to faith. Here was a man who should have been helped by turning him to Jesus. Here were disciples who were trying to do it in their own power. And Jesus was completely excluded from all of this little scene. No wonder he's bothered. How do you think we're able to do this today? Years ago, I learned this. I'll never forget up north one Sunday. I had worked really hard on a sermon, and I told my wife, best sermon I'm ever going to preach, right? And that day, the church was full of visitors. One little lady had finally brought her unbelieving neighbor to church. She was so excited. And I get up to start the sermon. And we're not but two lines in, the mic goes out. Happens. Get it started. Goes out again. Get it started. Goes out again. I basically throw the thing at that point. And then the mic guy, we started with the pulpit mic, it goes out. And then the mic guy walks up right to the front. And I lost it. I just absolutely lost it. Everyone up, the Lord bless you and keep you, and I stormed right out of the sanctuary. They didn't get a sermon that day. One of the elders walks to the back and says, you need to get up there and finish your sermon. I said, it's not happening. First time those Christians had ever witnessed anything like that. Still talked about. I talked with a godly man after, and you know what he said to me? For some reason, Chris, it was shut down that day. I had never thought about it, but I came to realize something, that I can just expect all this. God raises up a pastor. You come and you're going to get a sermon today. How much do you take even this for granted? It's all grace. Do you think your attitude could be like the disciples? I expected to hear a sermon today. I always have. Let me ask you, did you pray this morning? Do you think we can just come and automatically expect everything to go well in every circumstance of life? Let a little messenger of Satan come, said Paul, to torment me. Then I'm going to learn. It's when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It was Jesus who would say, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." What he's saying is, I have grace to help you. And I believe that's the impression he leaves on them to close this sermon out. Listen to this for a minute. He left a lasting impression on them. As soon as Jesus says, "If I can, if you can believe, all things are possible." As soon as the man hears that, he cries out, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." That is wonderful, honest confession, because it's our experience. I've always loved it. I believe, but I'm so weak. You've got to help my unbelief. Notice the humility in that. I know unbelief is all through me. I don't want it to be. Would you please address it? Would you please take it out? Would you please help me in my unbelief? I believe you, but I'm that shallow. Boy, the man first realized the greatest problem was not his son. The greatest problem was the unbelief of his heart. And it's at that that Jesus, in compassion, not judgment, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, what was declared on the mountain, Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit, commands it to come out, to never come again. And now think of what happens. God the Father had just said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." What Jesus did was the answer to everything. Remember, "I will go and rise again. Here is a father and a son on earth." Jesus casts out the demon. Mark wants you to think about this. He uses death and resurrection language on purpose. Because you see, when Satan is dethroned, life comes. The son lies dead. Everyone said it. I don't think he was really dead, but Mark wants you to think that. The son lies dead. And all of a sudden, at the hand of Jesus, he grabs the boy and lifts him up to a resurrection. That's the result of true faith. It's the whole picture. The glory to come is right here. He had just shown them glory. This is his path. And now this is the result for us because of his path, his cross. He had to defeat Satan, and because he would become the curse, because he would die and rise again, that is our story. He's answered it. He's answered all the sorrow that you've ever seen in this sad world in his own life, death, and resurrection. And so in this way, it was a visual of their story. Jesus wins for you. Jesus wins for you. And didn't the disciples later get this? Please listen carefully to this final statement. This got me this week. How did this affect the disciples with their mission? When Peter heals a lame man in Acts 3, the power was given. Remember what he said? "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this or look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" Well, he got it. God glorified his servant Jesus, whom he raised from the dead. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Whom you see in that, yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Then he goes on in chapter 4. "Let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healthy." It's his power, not ours. And that's the story. What the disciples learn, that Jesus has the power to raise us to life through faith in his name. And I love this because as you go forward, until you reach glory and you're on this life's hard path that you're on, you know what he's inviting you to do? Pray. He's telling you to pray. "I know you can't go on in your own strength. I know your children suffer. I know, but what I'm saying to you, says the Lord, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you always." But you need to know that nothing comes out if you will. I don't believe in demonic possession of Christians. No power of sin can be manipulated and controlled your way. I have to win that battle for you. And I'm willing to do it. If you're honest with him, you're going to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, take away my doubt, have compassion on me and help me. There was a prayer here, wasn't there? For apart from you, I can do nothing. And he just says, I'm so willing to help you. I'm willing to answer your prayer. Cast all your cares upon me, says the Lord. Why? Because I care for you. Let's thank him this morning in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we have to confess how shallow we've been in prayer, and that often what we do go through in this life is brought about us by going on in our own strength, in our own trust, in our own dependency, not looking up to you. And we can all testify that the lack of prayer is evidence of it. Lord, we believe you this morning. We believe everything you've told us. We believe who you are, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We believe what your word has said, the prophetic word which is confirmed. But we're asking you this morning, all of us together as a church, to deal with our unbelief. Help us to love your worship, to hear from you. Help us to pray to you and to go forward in your strength and not our own. And then we'll fulfill why you have us here, that we might be a light to many, and that they might know that it's by the power of Jesus that there is true life given, and that in the end, all of us are going to be lifted up by his hand into glory. Thank you for encouraging us today with these words, in Jesus' name.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.